bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Ron Iddles is the Secretary of the Police Association in Victoria, 14,000 members he represents, 37 years as an operational copper, 25 in homicide. Ron, how does it, first off, being Secretary of the Police Association, a little bit different from being an operational copper in a lot of ways.
And a boy from Echuca, I believe.
And from Echuca, yeah.
That's right, no, very different. Whilst it's the association, I look at it as, I guess, running a business. We have to get the internal part right if we're going to service the membership.
Well, yeah, it's a good point. It's 14,000 members and very diverse, obviously, across all ranks and all parts of the force. We've seen this week there was a youth summit attended by a lot of, Victoria Police, a lot of first responders, government, academia. Why was the summit called, Ron? Is there anything that's come out of it that you think is going to be worthwhile?
Look, I think the Chief Commissioner called it because there's no doubt concern in the community about carjacking, home invasions. So it was about trying to work out what's actually the cause of it. So there was over 200 at the summit. There were a lot of things spoken about, and the Chief's going to put a paper together and present to government. But I don't think there's one easy fix or one silver bullet that's going to fix this overnight.
We've seen, and we've spoken about this before on the show, not you and us, but there's a level of disengagement in society now around a whole lot of issues, but particularly amongst youth. And I think, if I'm quoting correctly, the Chief Commissioner, one of his comments was that some young people think it's easier to steal than to get a job. What is the level of crime that your members are seeing amongst young Victorians? Is it on the increase?
There's no doubt that crime within the young is on the increase, but I think the amount of young offenders has slightly dropped off. So you've got a smaller group that's involved in more crime, but the trouble is the crime has become more violent. So you're getting people that are becoming seriously injured or threatened, so breaking into houses at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, threatening sometimes even death, stealing cars, stealing money, stealing mobile phones. And they do it with really out any fear.
Because one of the... We have seen, and obviously there's been a lot of reporting of it, but those home invasions ostensibly or most likely to actually get the key to a car, because over the last few years with modern cars, it's almost impossible to steal the car without the key or to get access to the car because of deadlocks. Is there... You know, when people are perhaps experiencing a situation like this, what is your advice, and you know, obviously your members' advice, what should people do when they are confronted with a situation like that in their home? What should they do?
Where they're predominantly just after property, I say hand the keys over, give them the phone, because they can be replaced. You know, where it's an attack on your personal safety, then you can only use reasonable self-defence. But most times these home invasions so far have been about property. Your life can't be replaced, so give the keys over and let them go.
So what are the key drivers behind these home invasions?
Look, I think part of it is they're totally disconnected from society. So the home environment is not good. So what happens is they become no sense of belonging. So then they get within a young group. They feel that there's a sense of belonging, someone actually cares for them within that group, and then some of them have dropped out of school, so the education system probably has let them down. We know that truancy is a big factor, so they consider themselves a failure. But within a group, when they're actually doing these crimes, they can see that as success. So But a lot of the drivers is around disconnection and disengage with society. And I think that if you went back 10 or 15 years ago, there were a lot of programs for young people who dropped out of school, and we don't have that now. So they dropped totally out of society, and there's no bridge sort of to build them back in.
And we saw also in many years past, Ron, I don't know if they still exist, but there used to be police youth clubs where, you know, local coppers would involve themselves, particularly with young people in communities. Do those clubs still exist?
Believe it or not, there's still blue light disco to some extent, but I think one of the things is we probably have disengaged a bit with the community. Whilst the executive leaders of Victoria Police meet at a higher level, I think the grassroots aren't actually connecting with those youths.
And why do you think that is? Is it because, you know, the intricacies and the complications of modern policing that, you know, for your members, you know, their shift is jam-packed with, let's call it activity, that there's less opportunity to engage? It is more about, you know, prevention and investigation?
So I think what's happened is the amount of calls for police services is currently outstripping our capacity to respond to every call. So if you went back 10, 15 years ago, you actually had time to have a proactive patrol. You had time to might be go to a youth forum or a youth group. But now the members are going from job to job to job, and quite often when they get to the end of their shift, they've still got 10 or 12 jobs which they have to pass on to the next shift. We've got issues around mental health, which tie our members up considerably. So we take on a lot of roles now, which we didn't normally take on. Interesting fact out of the summit was Professor McGoran, who's a mental health expert, works in the western suburbs, says, well, look, in the last 10 years, we have not had one additional dollar to actually deal with mental health, but the population in the western suburbs, we're talking Melton, Caroline Springs, has gone up 50%. Now, what we know is that our members are picking up the slack. So where there's an incident where someone's going to self-harm or might harm someone else, our members have to come, they have to take them to hospital, they have to stay with them until they're assessed. That can tie up a unit for anywhere between 6 and 8 hours.
And we're seeing the flow through of that too with, you know, your colleagues, you know, paramedics, that a lot of paramedics are having to call on your members to attend an incident with them, whether it's a mental health issue, whether it's sometimes a domestic violence, sometimes it's ICE, but increasingly they're having to rely on your members to make the scene safe or to make sure that they're safe at those. And then, of course, they get to the hospital and then there's, you know, there's ramping at the hospital as well. It's a resource issue, isn't it, Ron?
Well, it is a resource issue, and you know, like we look at the growth areas. I've got an email yesterday from a member, say from Casey, so we're talking in Pakenham, Cranbourne, Berwick, and he says, I've never seen it so bad in 25 years, and they're struggling to actually cope themselves. And we know the biggest issue that's facing members probably in the last year and going forward is depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, which is all to do sometimes just with workload and resources.
We see that the Police Association and the Ambulance Employees Association in Victoria are working to have work cover regard post-traumatic stress disorder as an occupational illness. I mean, to me, I don't understand why you'd have to be lobbying on this. I mean, you know, is it because work cover is more interested in providing a dividend to the government than looking after people? I mean, how can you have a situation where they know the stress that is being caused to first responders, yet not regarding it in a work cover sense? I mean, I can't get my head around that.
So if our members have a physical injury, say a broken arm, the claim for work cover is accepted and they go into treatment. When they have a claim around a psychological injury, which could be depression, anxiety, or post-traumatic stress, because you can't see it, sometimes they say, well, that hasn't been caused by your employment. Now, we only get about 42% of members who get their claim accepted. So what happens is they then take long-term sick leave, they don't get treatment, and some of them never ever come back to work. So currently we have about 23, 24 a month to get their claim accepted, but there's a lot more who haven't got it accepted, and those people aren't going to come back to work.
So if I can go back to, you know, you were in Homicide Squad for a lot of your career, we can all understand the stress that that causes people operating in that squad, what they see, what they have to investigate. What are the sort of issues that your members are coming across that is contributing to this? Is it the increasing violence? Is it the stress of the workload? Are there, you know, are there a couple of issues that you'd like to highlight that are contributing to this?
I think Professor Cotton, who just did a review into mental health across Victoria Police, and that included ex-members, whilst critical incidents, so you might talk about going to a suicide, going to a death, going to a fatal car accident, are contributing factors because it's like a dripping tap and eventually the sink's going to overflow. But what he did point out is one of the main contributing factors is workload, work pressure and lack of resources. Now, until we address those, as I said, the amount of calls for police assistance is outstripping our capacity to actually deliver.
We're going to take a break in a moment, but I'd like to touch some more on the post-traumatic stress disorder, because amongst first responders it is a huge problem, and also talk about the if we can, the resource that the Victoria Police have, being always called on to do more, potentially with less. One issue that I'm, there's a couple of issues, Ron, but the issue of resources, there's always a question. Understand your organisation is lobbying for your members, but also that, you know, the government, you know, they always say, whenever you're talking about government spending, when you want money off them, they always say, oh, well, we can't, you know, you want to take money off hospitals and schools and police. There is the reality. Is the government resourcing Victoria Police at the level that it needs to be resourced? And if not, what is needed? What is needed?
And also, how does it compare to other parts of the country?
Yeah.
So are we out of kilter with New South Wales or South Australia or Brisbane? Do you have a view on that, Ron?
So the second question about how do we fit in with the rest of Australia, if you go to the Productivity Commission report, the amount of dollars spent per head of capita for Victoria on law enforcement, it puts us right down towards the bottom. As far as actual police officers go per head of population, we probably sit somewhere in the middle. But we do know that Victoria is the fastest growing state in Australia, and it's growing at about 2.1% a year. And they're the issues that I think are facing. We just can't keep up with that growth.
Is there an issue, is the police force experiencing an issue in recruitment with so much disengagement in the community? Are Vic Police finding difficulty in getting sufficient numbers of recruits for the, you know, for the budget that they have?
No, there's more than enough applicants, so they have to go through a fairly rigorous process. We know we lose around 386 a year just through natural attrition who retire, so it's about replacing those and trying to keep up with population growth. We'd like to go to a model whereby we had 102 police officers per 100,000 population. Now, to get to that, we'd probably need at least another 800 in the next budget cycle.
And how many are promised in the next budget cycle?
Well, we've got 300, or total of 406, of which 300 will come to the front line over the next 2 years. So we're going to see 150 additional police in uniform on the front line each year for the next 2 years. But I'm currently working with Victoria Police around what a model should look like. You know, and I'd like to see some bipartisan approach to this, so that instead of having a bidding war come every election, we actually know that we need 386 to 400 for natural attrition, and we need, say, another 300 each year for just for growth and demand.
Jeez, that's a lot.
And that way you could actually budget and forecast way ahead instead of having just this constant war about numbers.
Right, Ron, I have to ask you, one of our listeners has just sent an email in and he's asked for your opinion about expanding and better resourcing the Gay Lesbian Liaison Officer program. Do you have a view about that?
Look, I know there are some officers involved in that, but again, it comes down to priorities for Victoria Police. We'd like more community engagement with all sorts of groups, including the gay and lesbian group.
Because you said earlier, you know, that police are police command are engaging at a higher level, and you've touched again there on community engagement. Is that part of your discussion, or is it going to be part of your discussion with the government? I'm not saying, you know, 1 hour a shift or something like this, but to provide some opportunities for your members to engage with the community that a little bit more that they're policing, you know, because obviously that, you know, what you've said and what other people said, that has some value. Is that something that you're going to make part of your discussions?
Oh, look, I think it'll be part of what Graham Ashton actually puts to government, but this is just not a policing problem. It needs people within the community. One of the biggest things I think that came out the other day was some of those young people need a mentor in their life, someone who can actually guide them through, be a mentoring role. Now, that can come from business. It can come from somebody in the community. So there needs to be a holistic approach to this if we're actually going to address it.
If I actually don't have a magic wand, but if I did, Ron, what are the two things that you'd like to see Victoria Police be able to do that they currently can't do? Apart from more members, what would be the two things that you'd really like to happen?
I think we do need more. Well, it's always come back to resources, and that is we need more detectives within the crime department to deal with a whole range of things. And the pressures that constantly come to me from members is really around resourcing. So it's still around that people thing. It's about commitment from government to actually fund. And I know there's not an indefinite amount of money, but when you see members who are struggling, which is causing a psychological effect, then we've really got to do something.
Is there... what's the government's view on post-traumatic stress disorder being an occupational illness? Are they supporting that or are they opposing it?
They're not opposing it. They're trying to look through and work through what are there any unintended consequences if they were to change the law so that for those in emergency services, ambulance, fire and police, if it's accepted as a presumptive test, is there an ongoing or downstream effect to a whole range of other industries? So I think they need to look at, they're looking at that, and they're also looking, can they change the model so that the claims are actually accepted without changing the legislation? So on the whole, they're supportive, but they've got to look at a whole range of other issues.
And, Ron, I've got a question here, which might end up being your last question, actually, but one of our listeners, Michael from Yarraville, actually is very keen to understand what the Police Association's position on homophobia is, and will the police force actually come out and support the LGBTI community during the national plebiscite around marriage equality?
Will Victoria Police come out? I'm not sure about that, but we're all about equity and diversity, and I think that came out of the...
But as Secretary of the Police Association, do you have a mandate to endorse an anti-homophobia stance?
No, I don't. I've got to advocate on behalf of the members, but I do know that there's been a fair amount of change over the last 5 years, and we're changing probably as we speak, so... If I was given a mandate by the membership, then I would support it.
Cool. Ron Eddles, Secretary of the Police Association in Victoria. Thank you so much for your time. I know there are many, many demands on it. Really, really appreciate it. And thanks for the insight into what's going out there on the beat.
Good
Thank
on you.
Pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Ron.
That was Ron Eddles, Secretary of the Police Association, long-term copper. 37 years operational. Some issues there, you know, which we touched on. We'll get Ron back, you know, on another occasion and deal a little bit deeper with some of those issues.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.